Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm Asad Khan. I'm a Principal Program Manager in the Big Data team in Azure. I'm joined here with Tim.
Hi, I'm Tim Benrick. I'm a technical evangelist based out of Chicago.
So thanks, everyone, for coming. I know it's 6:30 in the evening, and there have been some amazing sessions throughout the day I've been attending as well. And I know there is a party right after this, so I really appreciate the people who came here. The topic itself is big data, and actually there's a lot to cover. Normally, like this big data has a lot of technologies in there, and we cover it in like 3 or 4 sessions. And I was telling the organizer, like, oh, so I have 1 hour to cover? And he was like, yeah, don't worry, the people who come for build has really high IQ. And I said, I can buy that. So if I stream through the deck and you don't understand the demo, then you don't fit in his definition. But I'm just following his definition. So what I have is like literally like 7-8 slides in the start to set up the context. And the idea is that we go and build an actual app end to end over here. And the deck is like literally I will not go into too much depth, and there are some topics I will just mention, but I will try to cover most of the ones which we will use in the demo itself. Okay, so with that, get started. So I think this is where I will do the check in terms of like maybe I'm just wasting my 30 seconds because people already know it. So how many people are familiar with big data, Hadoop, this whole ecosystem, and have been using it? Okay, so I can spend 30 seconds. So basically, the question is, like, why do I care about the big data, right? So like, data has been there forever, and there have been some awesome technologies both built by Microsoft and other companies, which is like, whether it is relational store or whether it is like for BI, for analytics, for ETL. So what changed? And why suddenly there is so much hype around like, oh, big data and all of that? I think it is less about like, it's not just about like what do you want to go and do with the data. I think like the primary thing that changed is the type of the data and how it is being generated. So of course the volume changed. Like now everyone wants to send some data somewhere and producing lots and lots of data. And it is also about like at the speed the data is being produced, and as a result, people are becoming so data driven that literally like last month I was talking to some executives from company, and they have retail stores. And it's not like a website, they have like physical retail stores. And they were like, oh, so if during this sales season, if my store opens on the East Coast, like by the time comes for the West Coast, can I get some analytics so I can rearrange stuff in the physical store and all that? Like, wow, really? So basically, like, you want to get the data from the registers as people are buying stuff, send it into the cloud, analyze it. You have your data science people ahead of time maybe define some models which will be used. Put it into a BI and have your business decision makers look at it and call someone on the West Coast so they can change something physically. Wow, that's impressive. So basically it's also about like time to insight. And again, the third and the fourth thing is about like the type of the data is becoming is not generated because it is well-defined schema and everything, because so it is easy to go and process downstream. Like all varying type of data is generated. Like even in Microsoft, like when we go and analyze the data which is coming from the support calls, like that is literally the guy on the phone, and he's typing as someone is calling and saying, like, I have this issue, like I can't reset my password, and this and that, and like that guy is capturing all of that. And in the end, they want to get that data maybe on hundreds and thousands of calls and do machine learning on it. So you have to go and tokenize it, you have to go analyze in a different way. And again, the scale is big. I want to go and see throughout the year how many calls came in, what was the primary reason. I want to go and classify it, I want to label it, I want to model it. So the challenges are becoming really, really interesting. And that's where the whole big data and the new set of technologies comes in. So we will primarily talk about Hadoop. So again, because big data itself is a huge topic and there is a lot in it. And Hadoop itself, again, started a decade back. And in Hadoop itself, like I have to really simplify this slide, because if you go and look at some of the Hadoop slides out on the web, because it's an open source technology, they talk about lots of other stuff. So there's a reason I made it very simple. There are three things. There is batch, which I want to go and talk about. There is NoSQL store, which is H-based, I want to talk about. And there is a streaming solution, which is Storm. And these are all the technologies that come under the umbrella of HD Insight, which is the big data service on Azure. And I will take one by one and give you an introduction, and then I will show you in the code of what you can go and do with that. So as I said, HD Insight is the Azure big data offering. What they do is that they take the open source, the work which has been done outside, which is Hadoop. It's not that Microsoft is not contributing. There are Microsoft and other big enterprises which are contributing, but they all go back into the main trunk so everyone else can take benefit. This helps a lot, like in terms of the velocity at which you can develop and the number of peer reviews that you get on the code itself. Like, this has been amazing for us to go and take a bet on this open source platform. So some of the questions that come to me is like, oh, so this is Hadoop. Like, if I go to the Apache trunk, how is that different than what I get on Azure? There's a lot of differences. One is that there's no change. Like, we don't change the code. If we add something, we add it back into the trunk. But the key things are that it is fully managed. So I don't know, like, how many people have read about big data. Like, pick any book from Aurelio or anywhere. Like, first three chapters are how do you set up your cluster? Because it is so hard to set up these clusters. So the first thing you will get is that in Azure, you go in and you say, I want HBase, I want Storm, I want Hadoop, and I want a 500-node cluster. And boom, in 15 minutes, you have a 500-node cluster all set up for you. And it's not just scripts, because even if a single node goes down, it is us who will wake up and fix it for you. So it is fully managed service. So we provide you an SLA of 99.9% uptime, so you don't have to go and worry. So these are the two big points which people don't understand if they just say, oh, this is just an open source thing which we are offering. The third thing is that we understand our customers. We understand this. Most of Microsoft customers are enterprises. We know that many of those have spent their lives building applications in .NET. And as you know, most of these open source technology don't support .NET, or they don't have any binding into the Visual Studio for the development environment. And that's where we go in and we really invest. We invest in the productivity. We want to make sure that people who have been familiar with Microsoft tools, with VS and others, they can go and use these. You want to make sure that if you are writing your next WinJS application or for your Windows Phone or for tablet, you can go and connect to these technologies, and all the bindings and API and .NET libraries are right there for you to build. But at the same time, if you want to be the one who writes it in Scala and Clojure and Java, like, that will all work as well. And actually, like, we even do some work to make that one easy as well. So that is like the key value prop that we provide, and that is what like HD Insight is. HD Insight is the big data offering on Azure, so you can go and build your applications on top of these clusters. So three slides, the last three slides, one for each. The first one is Hive. We will talk about Hive. Hive is a query language. Literally, you go, so basically here it starts. You go in and you start putting your data in the Azure. Very typical scenario I'm talking about. Either your data is born in the cloud, or your data is being generated from your IoT devices or somewhere, and you throw it into the cloud. Like basically, one example is like one of the companies like JustGiving. They are UK based company. They do for charities and all of that. They did an awesome project where they took all of their data, put it in the cloud, and they built a graph in terms of like how people are related and what are the places where they give charities in which organizations. And in this case, like they were able to come up with this very, very interesting insights. And they even have a case study. So if you Bing or Google for it, just giving HD Insight, you will find the case study. So very, very interesting stuff people have done with it. So the basic concept is that Hive is a very powerful query language. You can create a table. And when I say create a table, the one difference you will see is that in the big data, in the traditional way, the old style, like basically you define the schema first and then you write it. In the big data world, you write first and then you define the schema. And that slight change changes the way that you handle with data. Because when you are storing the data, you don't need to worry about what I will go with it, do with it. What will be the questions I will ask? How will the relationship be defined? Anything like all you do is like literally you are storing your CSV files or your text files or your logs or the streams that are coming from the IoT. You just keep storing that. And then when the time comes when you want to go and do something, you define the table and then you start writing your queries. The second one is HBase. HBase is a NoSQL store. It gives you a really, really, really fast read and write access. Like, for example, the Facebook messaging, it's built on HBase. Like, millions of people are going in there, and they will go in and look at their messages. They will change it. They will write it. They read it. Skype uses a lot in HBase for their stuff. So really, really powerful store that you can go and store your data and then build application on top of it. And this is one of the stores that we will use today to build the application. The last one is Storm. It's used for streaming. The one thing which I want to really want you to focus is the Storm, the blue box and the thing which is in there. It is called topology. So three terms you will hear a lot in the next 45 minutes is topology, and topology is made of spouts and bolts. So that's what it shows. It seems like the water is coming in, so that's where the data is coming in. So you write a spout, which is a connector. So you go and you connect to a source. What is your source? Data coming from your device, coming from your car, coming from your computer, from your phone, coming from the Twitter stream, anything. That is your spout. So basically, there are spouts available for many of the things which are out there. And then you do your business operations. I want to go and doing a windowing function. I want to go and store it in SQL. I want to go and read it from HBase, anything, and those are the bolts. So the reason I'm spending an extra minute on it is like, as we build the application, we will be doing a lot. So, let me go and add a spout for this data source, or I will go and add this bolt, which does this thing. And then together, they make the topology. Okay, so just wanted to talk about this one of the scenarios. We are working very closely with one of the big automobiles in US, and later this year they will go public with one of their brands where they have built a really, really interesting the connected car scenario. And again, this is much simplified than what it is there, but the idea is similar, where like the cars are keep sending data. And you can do a lot of interesting scenarios, including the preventive maintenance. So they look at the data coming from the sensors, the outside temperature, how the car has been behaving. They have already loaded a lot of their data in the store. So they do a join. So it's like, when was this car came in for the last checkup and all of that. So basically, based on that, they have built a very, very nice end-to-end IoT scenario. And in terms of the technologies, the one which they picked, and again, like Azure provides you all the richness, so you can swap in and swap out different type of stores and all of that, is some of the one which I displayed here. Like, again, Storm is the one which is the pipeline of how the data is flowing, and then you can do multiple operation in there. Okay, so enough of talking. keep three things in mind. Big data has the capability to query through Hive. It has a NoSQL store, which is HBase. It has a streaming pipeline, which is called the Storm. And then in there, you build the topologies, which are built of spouts and your bolts. OK, so let's switch to the demo. OK, so I have Visual Studio here. I will start with a new project. And in there, you will notice that as part of the templates that get shipped, there is HD Insight in there. And what this allows you is that it gives you the scaffolding. Like, you don't have to worry about the dependencies. You don't even have to worry about, like, how do I what is the interface that I need to add for my spout and bolt? So it will give you an empty spout, an empty bolt, and an empty topology which are connected. So that is the advantage you get. So one thing which I did was, actually I wanted that if someone wants to follow us along, they can do it. So every code which I'm doing, I have put it in the online gallery. We hope to clean it up and also ship it as part of the VS. So if you go to the online one and then search here, and then search for, let's say, HD Insight.
Click on online.
So you will get this the starter template. So we wrote for this one, and this one, again, this is an online gallery, so you can all get it. What this does is that, let me just call it a demo build. So this gives you the same scaffolding plus little more. And what it does is that, so Tim and I have been brainstorming in terms of like, what is the demo we do, and it does, the source of the stream does not make a huge difference. In the end, you have to connect to some stream, whether it is coming from your device or it is coming from anywhere. So what we thought was that it would be interesting if we can, if you connect to Twitter, because in the end, that will give me continuous stream, and then we can go and analyze it. It will be much more readable than if I tell you that this gibberish thing which is coming is from the device, and trust me, it is real or something. So this gives you more readable stuff that comes in. So as a result, what we have is, remember the spout and bolts discussion? So it has one spout and one bolt. If you click on the spout, basically it uses the, I will build it so that it resolve the dependencies. It uses the tweet INV, which is not written by us. It is one of the C# libraries to go and connect to Twitter. Like, that has nothing to do with Storm. Like, you can use it in your any .NET application. There are many other libraries out there. You can use any.
And so, real quick, I think that highlights the power of when you're building a C# application. If you're connecting to a source and you know how to connect to it because you built, you know, you built a worker role or you built something already, you can leverage a lot of that existing code and that knowledge you have right here in your topology.
Yep, so basically, yeah, so you can pretty much use any library. So if you are, for example, you are writing to SQL, you can use SQL Client. Not in the spout, but in the bolt, you'll use it. So in there, you come in, and this library requires you to say, what are the hashtags you are looking for? So in the template, we just put coffee and NHL. You can change it. You can say, like, I'm looking for build 2015. And I can make some more variations of this. I can say build, and then this one as and looks good.
Looks good.
Okay. So now it will go and look for these tweets which are coming in. It connects using my developer API. That is the one which I did not share with you, so you get your own. But I will go and add mine very quickly so you don't copy it.
Get your cameras ready. You wanna.
So here you go, and save and close. So I put in my developer key in there. So now I can use that developer key to go and connect to Twitter. There is nothing else. So this pretty much is basically does next tweet, which comes in. It adds to the queue. And then when it says next tuple, again, this is a deeper topic in terms of, in Spout, there is one method which is the most critical, which is next tuple. And Storm itself, as soon as it has processed one event, it will automatically call next tuple for the next one. And it continuously keep doing it at a very, very fast rate. So basically, when this happens, we pick the one from the queue, which is a local in memory, and then send you to the next one. As I said, there is a so this was the spout. Then there is a bolt. Bolt doesn't do anything other than it says this is the schema, and it puts this method in there which says execute tweet, and this is for you to go and add any business logic. You can say filter out for only English, or do this, or like whatever you want to go and you do it. It will do it on every operation. These are the two classes. Then this is the topology. The topology is the one which binds or stitches together the spouts and the bolts. So in here right now, you can see that there is one spout and there is one bolt. So to quickly go through it, basically this method, this function takes like the name. Then it takes context, which comes from the get method. Then it says, what is your schema? And the schema is just the tweet. And that's it. And then it says the parallelism, and I have put it one. So the areas we were unable to go and jump in and go in detail is how the scale-out things happen. Basically, whether you talk about Storm, HBase, Hadoop, they have many things in parallel, which is about the scalability, which is about the fault tolerance, all of this. So basically, whether I write this code and analyze 5 tweets or I analyze 5 million tweets, this code does not change. And all you have to do is maybe you increase the size of the cluster, and on that also I will show you in a second how you do it in the Azure portal. So with this much, pretty much I can go and compile it and put it on my Storm cluster, and you will see the tweets. But the problem is, where will you see the tweets? You need a front end. And I can tell you that it is analyzing, but you can't see it. So basically what Tim will do now is that he will quickly create a front end, and then we can connect the two sides and then go from there.
Sounds good. So real quick, on this second bolt down here where the Twitter bolt, that's where I would put business logic. So like if I had another reference data that I wanted, maybe I have people's Twitter handles and I have information in my CRM about them, I could join it in there and then emit it to another downstream system.
Right.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to build the front end. And so if I'm going to build this front end, traditionally as a .NET developer, I would want to use some sort of WebSocketing technology to connect my back end to my front end. So since this is all in C#, am I able to use SignalR?
Yeah, that's a great one. Basically, Storm uses the push mechanism. So basically, any application or anything where you can push your stream of data is an ideal one. Like the recent release of Power BI also allows that. So you can also use Power BI where you can push the data directly to your dashboard.
All right, so I've got Visual Studio. And to make sure there's no magic going on behind the scenes, I'm just going to do File New Project right from here. So do ASP.NET app. We'll call it Build 2015 HDI Demo. And I'm going to do an empty web API app, and I'm not going to host it in the cloud just yet, and click on OK. And the reason I chose to do a web API app is I'm going to just have an index page that is going to connect to SignalR. It's going to be an index.html page, and then eventually we might connect to our HBase data stream, and I'll do that through an API and pull that into my front end. So we'll let this create. And so here's my basic build demo. And so the first thing, since we're going to use SignalR, is I'm going to go ahead and install the SignalR NuGet package. So let's install. Anyone know what it is? Out of curiosity, for bonus points? Yes, whoever said that was right. No. So it's SignalR, ASP.NET.SignalR. You can always do this through the GUI as well. I just think that it installs a little faster if you do it through the command line. Hopefully, it will do this. There we go. I'm always afraid I'm going to type in a spell it wrong or something, and then my code's going to fail because I have someone else's library. All right, so we have that installed, or it's installing. You can see it's adding all the references for jQuery and SignalR, all that I need to use. So I haven't had to do much yet. When it's done, it gives me this nice README that reminds me that I need to create a Owen startup class. So I'm going to use the power of Visual Studio to right-click on my project and go to Add. And it's going to say, hey, do you want to add an Owen startup class, which I do. Call it Startup. And right here it said to put app.mapSignal. How many people in here have used SignalR before? All right, so you guys, I'm glad I'm going to go through this pretty quick then. So all right, so now I'll add in an index file. All right, and we'll call this Storm Demo. I've got some snippets here to cheat, so I'm just going to drag in my script references, which I'll go through. So I'm going to use WinJS to style this. I'm also going to have my connection to jQuery, to SignalR, and then this is, you know, the dynamic hub that gets created is the script here. And then I'm pulling in the WinJS control library because I'm going to build this in WinJS. And my app logic for this particular page will be stored in an app.js file that we will create. All right. and we'll come into the body. And so since I'm using WinJS, I'm going to have all my app logic in a namespace called app, and so I'll put that here. And I'm going to add in my, add in a toolbar. So we'll have a nice toolbar at the top, and it's just going to have a little header called storm signal R, and we can change that to be, demo, right? And then it's got a button that's a toggle button. So I'm going to click it. It's going to receive tweets, going to start my connection, and I'll click it, and it'll stop it. So super simple. That's our toolbar. We're going to display the text of the tweet. So we're going to have a tweet template that just is an H2 tag that's going to be bound to the contents of the tweet, tweet.text. And the last thing we need is a list view to hold all those tweets. And so this is cool about WinJS. Obviously, I could have done this in Angular. I could use this through jQuery. Doesn't matter what I do this in. WinJS, I just tell it my item data source, and I'm going to bind it to a variable called app.tweets, which will be a list. So we'll add that, go into my scripts. That's our front end. Let's add in a JavaScript file called app. And here, if I wanted, I could use Bower, and I could pull down a WinJS starter, but it's just a few lines of code. So I've got my self-enclosed function that's got my namespace called app, that's what we called it, and then a statement to process it. So within the app, I've already coded up the definition, which is pretty straightforward. It's got a tweets object to hold a list of tweets, and so it's bound to our list view. And then I've put in some code to kind of demo it before I connect it live. So I've got an interval ID, and when I click the button, I'm going to generate some fake tweets that just says a new build tweet with the string, and it's going to do this every second. So let's stop here and test and make sure that our app is running. Make sure our front end is doing what we expect.
Chrome is slow. Maybe you should try IE.
Yeah. We'll go with that. All right, so here's Storm demo. I click live, and hopefully I've got my new tweet. So this is what our front end looks like. It's not anything fancy, but we built it in, 30 seconds, right? And so if I stop it and hit start, it clears the list and goes again. So now let's connect this to SignalR. And so we already have our startup class. The next thing we need is a hub for SignalR. So we'll go here. Again, we knows what NuGet packages we've installed, and it's suggesting we have a SignalR class. So I will add that, and we'll call it Storm Hub, because we're going to connect to Storm. And so this is where I now have my Storm Hub, and this is where I will build the function that Assad is going to put into the Bolt to send to us. And so let's call this probably show tweet. And let's take a few strings. We'll take the tweet ID and the tweet text. And then we'll come in here and we'll say show tweet to our clients. And we'll just pass in the same text. So now we've got our ASP.NET server code that's going to connect to Assad's going to connect to that. It's going to start sending our front end clients tweets. So the last thing we need to do is wire that up in our JavaScript. So we'll come right here. And instead of typing it down, I have it right here. So what it's going to do is it's going to connect to a Storm Hub, which is in our connection. It's then going to run, here's the show tweet function we created, which just adds a tweet to our apps.tweet list, right? It's doing the same thing our test code is doing. And so we'll get rid of our test code and have it start our connection. So we'll get rid of that. Now our connection is started, and we will stop it instead of clearing our interval. So now we no longer have some test data being generated every second. It's going to be coming from our hub, and we'll get rid of this down there. So just like that, we should be able to deploy this to Azure and have Assad send data. And so to highlight again the Visual Studio tooling, we'll right-click on our project and hit Publish. And right through Visual Studio, I can come in here, click a new website. We'll call it Build 2015 HDI Demo. See if that's available, and it is. And we'll put it in the West US. And hit create. So this is going to the Azure portal, creating us a website, web server in the West United States. And once it creates it, it will download the publishing profile, and we will hit publish, and it will package up our code and send it out. Here it is. And so hopefully, as developers, maybe you've done this before. But if not, it kind of shows you how quickly you can use Visual Studio and the tools that Azure provides to get going. So just like we have HD Insights, the web team has done a great job as well. And so here we go. Up online is build2015hdidemo.azurewebsites.net. And once we connect, Asad starts connecting that to our data, we can all come here and we will see it live. So Asad?
Nice, great. So yeah, let's switch now. We have the front end, so we will use Storm, and from Storm we will go in and push these the live streams to that endpoint. So the one thing now we need is another bolt, right? So remember, I hope you have not forgotten. So basically there was one spout reading from Twitter, then one bolt that was pretty much not doing anything, and then we need another bolt that writes it to the signal R. So again, this is one of the ones which is published online. All you go is you say, add new item. And in there, if you go and search, like my searches are already cached, this is the signal R bolt. You can go and add this one. And now it has added this bolt, so let me just move it under the bolts directory. And if you go and look at it, it basically, what it does is that it takes the tweets which are coming in, and the tweets are coming in from the bolt which is behind this, and then it pushes it to the website. Where do I put the website and the hub name? All of that is captured in the config file. Again, it's a good design principle to just put everything in there. So if you go in there, I will go and add the website here through the snippets. So basically, it asks for the website URL and the Signal R Hub. Again, I think Signal R Hub is the same. You use the Twitter Hub?
I used Storm Hub is what I called it. Yep.
Yeah, sorry.
And then so the site is build2015hdidemo.
Okay. So now it has the address. Now there is one thing missing. I don't know if anyone can remember. We have not stitched this together as part of the topology. So I added another bolt, but it is hanging up in the air. So I have to put it as part of my topology. So I will go back to the topology, and I will do another set bolt. Again, so to save time, I will just add this thing, which says the for the signal R. And it added these four lines. So basically, it gives it the name, signal R bolt, and then it gives the get method, it gives you the schema, and it says from where the tweet is coming. And the tweet is coming from the previous bolt. So this is how it stitches together the topology. I have to just look for the namespace, which is this one, and I will add it there. Hopefully now it should compile. Yep. Okay, so again, just to repeat, what we did was we added another bolt. This bolt takes the data from coming from the spout and through the bolt. And this is the signal R bolt. So signal R bolt just needs an address where it will just keep pushing everything that it is getting as the streams. So now if we go and compile this thing, we can go and actually deploy it to my Big Data Storm cluster. Where did I get the Storm cluster? Again, I created it beforehand because it takes 15 minutes for the cluster to spin up. How many people have actually seen the Azure portal, like either this one or the new one? Oh, great. Otherwise, I would have gone back to the slides. So basically, you can say new, and then you can go HD Insight, and then you can pick the type of the cluster you want. This is the Storm cluster. I have two. One is the Storm one. Let me increase this thing. And the other one is the HBase one, which I will use for other purposes. So I will go and deploy it to this cluster. If you go on the scale, you can see right now it's a four-node cluster. But even if the topology is deployed or not, I can literally take this and go all the way here. And I can go to any number of nodes. Right now I'm restricted to 81 because of the quota. But if I want, I can make it an 18-node or 500-node cluster. Once I deployed a 300 node cluster in the demo, then I got an email that how much money I wasted. Then I don't do that. So we will keep it to 4 node. So let's go back here and we deploy. So the other thing which we have done is that we have made it really easy from the Visual Studio to go and deploy it to any of the Azure clusters. So if you go here and right click, you will see the option, since it's a Storm topology, that submit to the HD Insight Storm. It will show me all the clusters that I have in my subscription because I have installed the Azure SDK that comes for Visual Studio. So this is the Azure SDK 2.5. Now I can go and I can deploy it to the staging cluster, and I say submit. At this point, it will take that code, and hopefully if I have not made any error, it will go and deploy it in my Storm cluster. As soon as it gets deployed, it will run, and it will start reading the tweets that are coming in. It will look for the 3 hash codes that we defined in our Spout, because remember, Spout is the connector. So it will look for all the tweets coming under this subject heading, and then it will send it to the next bolt, and then it will go send it to the third bolt, which is the SignalR. SignalR will say, oh, what I have to do? Oh, I have to push it to a site, and it will push there. Seems like there was another one, which I will kill, actually. So this is some old topology. I will just kill it in case.
Yeah, so while we're waiting for the topology to deploy, if you're so inclined, you can pull out your phone and write up a tweet with the hashtag, either hashtag build2015 or build15 or buildwin. Don't have to be all of them, just any of them. And once we do that, it will show up live on the screen.
What is the address?
Build2015 HDI demo.
Demo.
.azurewebsites.net. So yep. As you can see, we're getting tweets that are coming in now. Yeah.
So again, basically, irrespective of...
Yeah. And this is the part of streaming Twitter data is...
Yeah, it's all planned. It was all planned like that because like we wanted to see some smile. So basically, again, like irrespective of what the data is, the key thing is that you need an API to connect, whether you connect to the Event Hub, whether you connect to your device, or you connect to another source. In this case, we chose to connect to the Twitter, so again, the demo becomes a little more interesting. And then it is about how do you build app by connecting the pieces together, and then you use various technologies, whether for storing or for displaying. Okay, so let's do something else, right, with it? What can we go and add to it?
Yeah, so we're receiving data from a stream, but that's not very useful. We can't do analysis on it. We can't review it later. And so why don't we start and use HBase and start storing this data to HBase?
Yep, let's do that. So I will go ahead and, so again, this part is all, we built it as part of deploying the Storm, which is the whole Storm topology management is within the Visual Studio. So I can go and say, like, let me kill this topology. And now the live streams will stop coming to the website. And we will add the HBase. And as Tim is saying, what it gives you is that it gives you a persistent storage. Most of the time, people who are building streaming applications, they do both batch and stream. So they do streaming just like they use SignalR or Power BI or any other live dashboard. But at the same time, they don't want to lose the data which is coming in. They want to store the data that is used for trend analysis, for historical data, for machine learning, for deeper analysis of your data. And this term is like has become very common, which is called the Lambda architecture. The Lambda architecture is where it splits the stream for real time, and it also stores it in batch. So what we will do is that we will go and use an HBase cluster and put all these tweets that are coming in into the HBase, as well as continue to get it on our live dashboard. So what I will do is that coming back to our application, I will go here and now add another bolt, and this time it will be the HBase write bolt. So I add new item. And again, all of these are not in VS, but online. So if you click on the online and then search for it, you should be able to see these ones. So I will say take the HBase bolt. And let me just move it under here. And again, same standard process. We will, if you want to go and modify something in the HBase bolt, we can go and modify that. This is a very general purpose HBase bolt. We did a few modifications so that the number of lines we have to type just to match the schema, we can avoid those things. But in general, this is a very general purpose HBase bolt. It will, you have to just give the address of your HBase and the schema you want to go and the table name, and it will go and do it. Before I do that, let me go and actually I have connected to my HBase cluster. So this is my HBase cluster. And again, this is the topic I'm not going too deep, which is like HBase has a command, has a shell where you can say, show me the tables, show me the columns, show me everything which is in there. So for example, you can go here and you can say list, and it will show you all the tables. And right now, there is no table in there. So we are starting with an empty HBase cluster. Now I will come back to it once the data start to come in and there is a table which is created. So similar process which we did. We will go to the config file, and now we will add the information about our HBase cluster. So in here we add the name of the HBase cluster, username, password, the column name, as well as the schema which I want to go and define. And this is the one which will be picked up by this bolt. So now if you remember, the last thing is that we have to stitch it to the topology, but otherwise it is just a free floating bolt. So I come here my one, and then similarly what I say is that the name, the get method, what is the schema, and from where does it get the data. So I added those things. So same, I define the name, I define the get method, I define the schema. In this case, the schema is not that much useful because this bolt is the last in the topology. It's not sending anywhere. So I could even change this part and it will not make a difference. And then from where does it get the data? It gets the data from this bolt, which is the Twitter bolt. So now with these three changes, if I go and again build my project and again do the redeploy, I should be able to see the data which is coming in now stored as part of my HBase. And so now we can again go here to my cluster. The Storm cluster. And right now you can see there is no topology because we killed the last one. So as soon as this comes up, you will start again seeing the tweets flowing through it, and the number of tweets that are processed, act, and again, like some of the details we didn't go in, but there is a lot of summary that comes displayed as part of the topology when you go and run it. Now, if I go and open the site and
I gotta add the backend. Oh, you're gonna just see if it starts streaming?
Yeah, so it will go to start to stream it here again. As soon as some tweet comes in, I can go and show it that it is also going into the HBase. Let me go and see. So you can see there is still zero in here.
There's some now.
Okay.
I don't know what website you're on.
Oh, man.
It's a build 2015 HDI demo. There
okay.
You go.
So now, basically, again, this was the part we had already seen. But now if you go into the HBase, and now if you say list, you should see the table, which is the tweet underscore DVR table. And all the tweets that are coming on the screen are also being saved here. So if you say, let's say, right now we don't have that many, so we can even do a scan, which will go and print all of them. So this will go and start printing all the tweets which are in there. So now all the tweets are coming on the signal R, and they are also going into the HBase and getting persisted. And now this is a very, very powerful store. You can go and do anything with it. You can go and build a lot of different type of applications. So at this point, like Tim, do you want to go and build something on top of it? Like, what's your plan with HBase?
So what we'll do now is we'll build, and I'll show you how you would take and connect that to an API controller so that you can start pulling in the data through a RESTful API. So I'll go ahead and switch over.
Yep.
All right, so we're seeing my screen. So it's UTC time right now. It's 2:13 a.m. So I want to remember that because that's when we started this job. And so when we view our API controller and we view the tweets that it pulls back, the first one should be around 2:12 in the morning because we're storing them on the server in UTC time. So let's go ahead and go into Visual Studio. And the first thing, like with SignalR, we'll want to do is install. There's a NuGet package to the C# library to connect to HBase. So we'll install that, and that's install package microsoft.hbase.client. And so this is the C# client that connects to the HBase APIs so that you can insert data and you can pull down data. And this is the same library that we had in Assad's code and his Bolt. So now that we've got that installed, we can keep going on. And so we've installed the NuGet package. The next thing we should probably do is create a web control or an API controller for receiving this service. So we'll come in and we'll create a new scaffolding item for a web, empty web API controller. And we'll call it Tweets API. And so as Assad was saying, is the data is stored in HBase, but HBase is schemaless. And so he defined the schema as he was writing it. And if we would have seen it, what he was doing is encoding all of the data into a byte array and storing that. And so what we'll have to do is define our model and then do the same thing, take it from a byte array into our model. And so I'm going to go ahead and add in a model that is the same as the model that Assad used. And so this is where if it was in the same solution, you could reference the other ones, but otherwise you would have to duplicate this code. So we'll call it tweet. And the model I have is right here. So there's the model. It's got the ID, the string, the ID of the tweet represented as a string. It's got created at, the text of the tweet, and other characters or other data that Assad is saving for that. The other thing that we should add while we're here is I'm going to add an existing item. This item is all on GitHub, and we'll provide the link here at the end of the demo. But what it is it's the HBase reader class. And so this class is what connects to our HBase cluster and then does the scan on the APIs and retrieves back the data. And so this is where I was saying it's going to do a scan, and it's going to pull back all of the information, and we're going to take it from a byte array and put it into a string or into an integer or a date time, whatever we're storing it from. And so this is what also enables the API to go really fast. And so it's saying that we are missing the namespace for the tweet that we created, so let's go ahead and add in our using statement for that. And this is good. And so now we can wire up our web controller API. And again, this code we'll share is all on GitHub. And so we'll post that link at the end here. So I'm just going to add in our namespace again for our model so that we've got the HBase reader. I don't know why tweet didn't pull in. Let's do the same. There we go. We need to add in async. All right. So now we've got our web API that's connecting to HBase. It's doing a scan, and it's going to return the data as a JSON object in a RESTful service. And so the last thing I need to do is add in our HBase connection information so that it can connect. And so I have that saved. And again, it's the same as Assad had. It's connecting to his cluster with his name, password, and the table that we want to retrieve from. So I'm going to save this. And now if I run this locally, I can run this locally because the data is connecting to the cloud. So I can deploy this, and it would work. And if I try and run this locally and hit live, it's not going to work because the tweets aren't coming here. But I can show you the API controller, and I can deploy it to the cloud as well. But I figured this might be a little faster, so we'll see. And while that's loading, I'm going to go ahead and paste in the URL. So it's connecting. This is, you know, web API routing. So it's going to my API called Tweets API. It's got the topic. and then a time. So when's the time that you want to get tweets from so that we can scan our table? Maybe we want to jump to an hour, or we want to go back in time, and then how many do we want? And the one thing that I saw Assad do is our topic isn't build, it's general. So I'm going to do that. And so if I hit this, we should see tweets starting around the 2:12 a.m. mark. And here we go. And so the first one was put in at 2:12 and 27 seconds. And so now this API is going through and it's pulling down the data that Assad is storing in HBase. And so if I was to come in here and say I only want 10, this will then come down and filter my list to 10. I can change my date and time. So if I wanted to jump into something more recent, I can come in here and put in my time. And I maybe want to go to, what time is it now? So maybe 2:18, and hit this. And so now it'll jump, hopefully. All right, well, I don't know the time syntax to get it to go to the actual time, but when you connect that and you URL encode it, it would pull down and jump into the next set. And so this is kind of a very generic example of we're taking tweets, we're archiving them, and we're saving them. But some of the business use cases you could see is maybe you are the build keynote, for example. We've got build going on, and you want to archive all of the keynote, all the tweets that are coming in on the keynote, so that you can run analysis and run sentiment and understand what was the most tweet, what time periods were the most tweeted. Was it when we announced Visual Studio Code? Was it when we showed HoloLens, right? And so you could go and you could archive and start doing analysis and say, okay, which features was everyone more excited about? And one thing that I thought of as we were doing this demo is I often don't watch live TV, and so I didn't get a chance to watch the keynote live. I was actually flying. And I'm a Game of Thrones fan, and so I sometimes like to watch the Game of Thrones tweets, but I can't do that if I have it DVR'd. And so what we created is we kind of packaged this up a little bit more, and we created datadvr.com. And so if you, this is the code that we'll share on GitHub, is this exact project. And so if you go to datadvr.com, we just did a few topics. I like I'm a huge NHL fan, that's why I got my playoff beer going on for the Blackhawks. So we've got NHL topics being monitored, we've got build, and we've got Game of Thrones. And so if we click on build, we can see this is during the keynote, right around the time we announced the HoloLens robot came out. And so we can hit play, and this is going to start showing all those tweets that were happening at 1:30, right? And so we kind of took this and made a consumer use case of it, but the real business use case of it, of archiving these tweets, might be that we are doing sentiment analysis, we're seeing what most people are excited about, and so, you know, big data can have multiple facets of areas when you want to know and answer different problems. So.
Yeah, exactly. Like basically, as Tim said, like basically, this is literally like you can go to either that show or like your keynote, and then you open this on the side, and then it will as if it happened at that time and what were people tweeting about. And it is exactly using the same topology. Like this is the topology that we finished building. It is using the stream version and it is using the cache version. And then this app is sitting where it allows both you. If you pick the time, then it will go against the HBase and pick up from the cache version. If you go say live at this point, so literally now if like any one of you tweet, it will go and show it right away. So this is the tweet that is coming in. Like if someone from the room tweets, like raise your hand and we can.
It has to be one of these hashtags though. When we made this on Sunday, we forgot that build 2015 would probably be the more popular tweet. And so it's only MS build, Microsoft build wind. And so it would have to be one of those tweets if you want to appear on screen. But yeah. If anyone tweets and appears on screen, raise your hand. That'd be fun to call it out. But anyways, that's.
Yeah, great. So basically the one last thing which I want to go and show and then we can have Q&A. I know that we have only like hardly 7 minutes. Is the Hive part. So basically, let me switch the machine.
Oh, we got someone from Greece streaming online.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically the two pieces, the two key pieces we covered is Storm and HBase. The third one which I want to talk about is the Hive. And again, like majority of the people who are right now using Hadoop, they are using Hive because it is a very, very powerful query language. Either they use Pig or some other query language to cleanse their data, modify, join data, and then they have the Hive queries go against it and do all sort of interesting stuff on top of it. So let me connect to the same cluster, which is the HBase staging cluster. And I will say, I will write a Hive query. And so these are the so one shortcut which I have taken in this case is that Hive works when you have the data in the HDFS. And HDFS is the file system. And in case of Azure, that means as long as your data is in the blob store, you can we have put an HDFS API on top of it so you can write Hive. So literally, anyone out there whose data is in Azure blob can go and start writing Hive queries by spinning up an HD Insight cluster. In this case, when I build the topology, I could have chosen to take all the tweets that are coming in, and rather than storing in HBase, store it directly into the blob store. But since I did not do it, and I just want to show it the Hive, what I will do is that you can still create a Hive table on top of HBase, and this is through the Serde, which is the extensibility in HBase, which lets you use the serializer and deserializer. And this is the four lines that does that. So basically, if you are not doing on HBase, but you are just directly doing it on the blob, then all you do is you say create table and then give the schema. Right now, I have to say create external table. So now, to give you an example of the Hive and what people can do, like you can do really, really deep operations and then static analysis or the machine learning part. So to give you a quick example, what I will do is like I will take all the tweets that are in this cluster, and this cluster I don't have many. Like basically, if I do the count right now, because this is the one which we just set up, I just have 135 since we just started this one. But I will go and look at these 135 queries, and I will say, let's do an n-gram. N-gram is like people go and see which two words or three words appear most commonly together, and then you can say, show me the top 10 n-grams of something. So basically, there is a function where you can say the n-grams. And what it takes is the token. And in this case, I don't have the tokens. All I have is the strings or the tweets that are coming in. So I have the text instead. And so what I will do is that I will say, make it lower, and then I will tokenize it, and there is a function for that as well. So now it is tokenized. And then I can say, am I looking at bigrams or threes or fours? So I'm looking at two, let's say, bigram, and I want to look at the top 10. And then I can say as ngram from, and the from is the table name, which in this case is the tweet table. And then I just say select. I know it's a weird way of writing my query. Select ngrams. And now what will happen is just it will just print one big line of like the n-gram that comes out. So I want to just print it out on each separate line. So I can use another function which says explode, which makes it on a separate line. And hopefully, if I type everything correctly, now what I'm doing is I'm taking the text. From the text, I'm making it lowercase. Then I'm tokenizing it. Then I'm doing the n-grams, looking for the bigrams, then I'm exploding it so that every shows up in the separate line. Now from Visual Studio, I can, since I'm connected to my Azure account, I can say submit, and it will go and submit this query. And again, Hive is slow. So basically, if you are used to SQL, you have to wait a minute. but again, it's slow, but it is powerful. Whether I write this thing on those 135 tweets, or I write it on a billion tweets, doesn't matter. Like it will just go and perform and get me the results. So here you can see the job status. So once it finishes, we can go and look at the results, and it will show you, as I said, like the top 10 n-grams on a separate lines. So basically, hopefully, this as I said, like these are a lot of topics we are covering here. Big data, how you build application on top of it, what are the type of things you can go and do, how you build your storm topologies, use HBase, and then like a 10 seconds intro to the Hive. But that's pretty much what we wanted to cover, take you through the journey of like taking one data source and build some interesting app out of it. As Tim said, like most of the stuff we showed you is already out there. You can go to datadvr.com right now. You can play with it. Like we did it and deployed it on Sunday evening around 7. So at least during that last 4 days, you can go to any time and pick the topic, and it will show you the tweets as if they are happening right now. The code is there. The bolts and spouts I used, they are all online. So I hope this was useful for you. If you have questions, we have just 2 more minutes.
Why don't you put the slides up too? Thank you.
Yeah.